Good morning. Well, I have a question for you this morning, and that question is, what is love? Anybody know what love is? I know we have a bridal shower happening here today, back in the fellowship hall this afternoon, and maybe David and Brenda, you got love all figured out, do you? Yeah? Yeah? All right. They got it figured out? Good. I'm glad to hear that. But the question, I think, is for a lot of people, how do you know when people love you? And how do you show love to other people? I think it'd be safe to say that almost everyone in the world is looking for love. In fact, I think I thought of a lot of songs when I was preparing this message. Looking for love in all the wrong... You know that song, Places? Yeah? Anybody want to sing with me? Yeah. But it's safe to say that people are looking for love, aren't they? In fact, you know, we are created to receive and to give love. That's how God made us to be. And so it makes sense that we're looking for love and looking for ways to know how to give love. And some of the questions that I have is, will you find love? And where are you looking for it? And how do you know when you found it? Will you recognize love when you see it? As I look at some of the dating scene that's happening, and I, you know, as I see middle schoolers and high schoolers and whoever dating, and as they move from one relationship to another relationship, I wonder sometimes what it is that they're looking for. You know, that they, it seems common nowadays that where people date many different people in high school or middle school. And I wonder, what is it that people are looking for when they're dating someone? I think, too, of like the divorce rate and think of what happened. You know, as I think of all of those individual marriages that started from a beautiful time of dating and engagement and wedding and all of that, and then somewhere along the way, something happened. It didn't work out. Were they looking for something that could not be fulfilled in that relationship? And it makes me wonder about how we're looking for love. And I think, too, of even maybe worse, more somber things like the suicide rate that's out there. I didn't look up the numbers, but people that are despondent at the end of their rope, and what is it that they didn't find in life? Did they not find that love that they're looking for? I think, too, of the popularity. You know, each day somebody else is popular, somebody rises to the top, and you might say, well, everybody loves that person. I had to think, I'm into basketball, March Madness, so I've enjoyed watching the games the last while. And it's interesting for me to watch how a player will come out of nowhere, you know, nobody knew about him, and suddenly he has a great game, puts a few games together, and everybody, the media is just talking about this person, how awesome this person is. And they get all the interviews, they get on TV, they get all of the publicity, and they get a lot of love, or is it love that they get? I don't know about you, but if I was in that position, I think it would be very hard to handle. What do you do with that, especially as an 18-year-old or 19-year-old, and all of a sudden you have all of this attention, all of this focus on you? But you know, we know that that doesn't last, does it? That shifts very quickly. People quickly shift their attention from one person or one group to someone else. And so where can we find a love that lasts? The world is desperately looking for love. And I believe they are looking in all of the wrong places. Where can we find a love that lasts, a love that is genuine, a love that is pure, a love that never ends, a love that does not fail, a love that is complete? Where can we find that kind of love? Anybody want to tell me? Can you give me an answer where we can find that? All right. And I'm going to be even more specific. We can find that kind of love right here. I want you to look around. Just take a moment and glance around. It's okay. You don't have to look at me. But right here in this auditorium, that kind of love can be found. A love that does not fail, a love that is complete. Now, I'm not suggesting that all of you who are single start looking in the church for that kind of love, that person that you can find. That's where you should. That's why you should be in church, is so you can find that love of your life. That's not the direction that I'm going this morning, although it may not be a bad idea to start in the church, but I'm not really talking about that. But I am suggesting that whether you're married, whether you're single, whether you're young or old, whether you're a guy or a girl, that you can find the most amazing love in the world right here. And I'm not saying that because we're the most amazing people in the world. We're going to get to that. But right here in the church is where that kind of love can be found. And I'm not just exaggerating. I'm not a person that is given to exaggeration. If you know me, I kind of stick to the facts generally. And I know for you, maybe you're thinking, well, I don't know that I've really experienced that kind of love in the church. In fact, I've experienced some other things where maybe I've been hurt by people in the church, and probably most of us have experienced that. Maybe you're hurting here right now, and you're wondering, is anybody going to notice what I'm feeling right now, today? Does anybody care that I am going through a difficult time? Maybe that's a question for you right this morning. And I think if the kind of love that we're talking about is true and the world found out about it, I think they would be pouring in the doors to experience and to find the kind of love that I'm talking about that could be experienced here. And so you might be saying, well, why aren't they pouring in the doors? Why aren't the people, everybody in the world, pouring in the doors of the church? The truth is, sometimes the world feels judged by the church instead of loved by the church. Isn't that true? That the world often looks at the church as just a group of people who are judging them and not a group of people that are loving them. And so there is that element that we have to come to grips with. We've seen divisions in the church. We've seen people leave the church. And that hurts. And we wonder sometimes, where is this amazing love that can be found or should be found here? We have to admit that it's not always seen, that it's often hidden and obscured. But what does this mean when we think, I made a statement that the most amazing love in the world could be discovered here in the church, and I'm not just talking about our church, but in the church at large. But sometimes it's not felt there. Sometimes it's not experienced. And I'm going to go back to my basketball thinking. I've been in a basketball mode lately, but I feel like it's kind of like we're that 15th seed, if you know what that means. We're one of the underdogs sometimes. And we have undeveloped talent that hasn't been put out there yet, as I think of some of the talent that's come out during the tournament. We have great potential as a church. Great potential that I feel like probably has not been completely realized. The love that could be felt from the church. There's great potential. But we haven't realized that potential. And we need to see how we can fully utilize that and unleash what I call the secret weapon of love on the world and on each other, to fully utilize that. Am I exaggerating this morning? No, I'm not exaggerating. It's the truth. This kind of amazing love can be felt right here. My main text this morning is found in 1 John chapter 4. I'm going to be jumping around to a few verses, but this is the main text I want to focus on. It's 1 John chapter 4, verses 13 to 17. It says, "We know that we live in Him, and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him, and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love of God, on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world, we are like Him." God is love. The two are inseparable. He made it. He's the source of genuine love. It cannot be found really anywhere else. Nothing else will satisfy. No one else will satisfy. Nothing else will last. And nothing else will measure up. God is love. And in this scripture here, John points out the fact that if you believe and acknowledge that Jesus is the Son of God, you live in God and God in you. Therefore, love is made complete in you. The love of God is made complete in you. If you believe and acknowledge that Jesus is the Son of God, His love is made complete in you. John says in his gospel that we become actual children of God. Can you imagine what that means? You and I, if we believe in Jesus as the Son of God, you and I become children of God. He reiterates that in one of his letters, 1 John 3:1. He says, "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God." And here he says that God's love is made complete in us. And in this world, we are like Him. I'm not exaggerating when I say that this most amazing love in the world can be found right here. Because this scripture says that God's love dwells and is made complete in each one of us who believe. All of us have the capability to love like God loves. Doesn't that sound incredible? Amazing? We have the capability. Now, I don't know that we... Well, I know we don't live up to the potential that we have. I know that people don't always see that love that God has made complete in us. We're a work in progress. We're like that low seed that still needs to realize its potential. Your potential and my potential is unmatched. In fact, I'm convinced that the more we explore God's love and understand it, understand how limitless it is, it's really a lifetime of exploration. We would only scratch the surface of God's love. We still would not know or comprehend the extent of it, even if we explore it and try and understand it our whole life. And the possibilities are endless for us of experiencing and giving this kind of love to others. A couple weeks ago, I talked about new things that God is doing. What are the new things that God is going to do among us? And I think this area of love is probably one of the areas where He wants to do a new thing in us, where He wants us to discover and understand the true love of God and express that in new ways to others. What will London Christian Fellowship be known for? Will we be known for our worship? Will we be known for good messages, a good children's program, or will we be known for a nice building? What will we be known for in our community or in the world? What I think God wants us to be known for is to be known for a people of love. A place where God's love is experienced and understood and worked out. A love that is beyond reason. So this morning, I'm challenging you and me as well to two things. For one, to discover this love that God gives towards us, the love that God gives to us, to discover that. Maybe you've never experienced it before. Maybe you don't know even really what I'm talking about. This love that God has to offer to us. And then secondly, I want to challenge us to love like we've never loved before, to love others, to allow this love of God to flow out of our lives and to touch other people. What does this love look like that we're talking about? This love of God. Well, 1 John 3:16 gives us a definition. If we're looking for love, this is how we know what it looks like. 1 John 3:16 says, "This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters." Our blueprint of love is the path of Jesus to the cross. That's how we know what love is. Now you might want to look at, maybe you look at relationships or you look at people or individuals and you think, well, that's what love is, or you look at what society tells us love is. But here is the true definition of love that we have. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ himself, as he laid down his life for us. And we've just come through these events. We've just recounted them as we've come through Easter and the events leading up to Easter. The scorn, the abuse, the humiliation, the suffering, and ultimately the death of Christ. What he suffered for us as people. People who didn't even deserve it. This is the kind of love that we've experienced. Jesus giving his life for people who did not deserve it. The fact is that Jesus' love is often ignored. It's often taken for granted. It's often misused. And Jesus knew all of that, and he gave his life anyways. So Jesus is our definition. This is a love beyond description or even comprehension. And this morning, I can't even describe it to you. I wish I could describe the love of Jesus and explain it to you. But there's no words to explain this kind of love that has been expressed towards us. It's a love beyond our comprehension. And so first, I wonder if you this morning are experiencing, do you understand how much you are loved? No matter what you've done, no matter the sin that you've committed, no matter the people that you've offended, whatever it is that you've done, that where you are right now, that God loves you with an everlasting love, an incredible love that no one else, you've never experienced from anyone else. Do you understand that love that he's expressed towards you? When we understand that love, then we can express it to others. But I don't think we can really express it to others until we understand it for ourselves, until we are able to accept that love for ourselves. So secondly, I want you to think about how you can express that to others. How you can love like you've never loved before. Now, love is hard. It's been my experience and probably your experience that loving other people is a difficult thing. We don't always see things eye to eye. I don't know, do you always see things the same as everybody else? Your spouse, do you ever see everything the same? That's how it is, David and Brenda. Everything, we always agree, right? Yeah. I'm picking on them this morning. But no, we know that that's not the case. We have disagreements. As interesting as we went through the building process, I was really impressed with how the church worked together to build the building. There's a lot of decisions that needed to be made. And you know that we did not agree on all of the decisions that were made. Some person would have done this different, they would have done this different. There were teams figuring out what to do. And I know on the teams that there were times where they were like trying to work out, what do we do here? Because this person sees it this way, this person sees it another way. How do we work that out? So love is not necessarily an easy thing to do. And sometimes we are very opinionated on how things should happen, how things should be done. Love is hard. And you only have to look at the cross to understand that as you look at what Jesus did for us. There's no way that we could look at what Jesus did for us and say, well, love is just, you know, it should be something easy to do. We know that it was hard even for Jesus, which I don't know how to even understand that, but we know what he said in the garden. He asked for the Father to take this cup from him. Love is hard. It's difficult. This kind of love is supernatural. It's not something that you're going to work up and say, you know what, this week I'm going to go out and I'm going to love people better. You know? I'm just going to go out and I'm going to do that. I'm going to be a more loving person. It doesn't work that way. Love is hard. And the love that we're talking about here, the love that we is being made complete in us, is not something that we've done. It's not something that we can create. It's the love of God. It needs an outlet in our life. But it's not really ours. It's really God's love that is looking for an outlet in each of us. So it's difficult. The passage that we're looking here primarily talks about loving the church, loving people in the church. And we know by just looking at church history or being involved with people in the church that that kind of love sometimes doesn't happen. There are churches that split and divide over things that they disagree about. There are people that leave the church, as I mentioned earlier. It's difficult to stay in relationship with each other, and maybe that's one of the most difficult things about loving, is to actually stay. To actually stay with each other and work through issues. Maybe one of the most difficult things in loving is to stay in relationship with one another instead of dividing. So love is difficult. And how do we do that in the church? And I have just a few suggestions. This is a very expansive topic. And for each of us, I think God calls us to love in different ways, depending on how you're gifted, depending on what you think. You notice things that others don't notice. Others pick up other things that you don't notice. Each of us has been gifted and given different ways to love. And so I can't really tell you how to do it. But I want you to come away this morning with some new ideas about how you might be able to show God's love in a new way to others, maybe in the church or other Christians, which is what this passage is focusing in on. To love like you've never loved before. One of the things that I've noticed is that we're very busy. How many of you are pretty busy this week? Okay, just a few of you. No, actually, most of you look pretty busy. We're busy. We got schedules. We got deadlines to make. We have jobs that are requiring us to complete tasks. We have, if you have children, you got sports schedules. Spring sports has just started off, and so you got baseball games and track and all of the other activities that you got to go to. We are busy people. And so one of the things that I think challenges us when it comes to loving others is actually to take the time for each other. to take time for each other. It's really difficult to love one another when we aren't even really connected that much. We kind of see each other in passing. We come and go maybe once a week or Sunday. We see each other. But other than that, we don't really have a chance to connect with each other. The pace of our lives is crazy. And so we need time to talk. We need time to hang out. We need time to listen. Listening itself takes a lot of time. Just to listen to each other and to hear each other. We need time to laugh together. I was hanging out last Sunday here in the lobby after everybody had gone back to get food before the service began. And I walked back through this doorway here, and there was just this loud noise coming down the hallway as I was approaching the fellowship hall. And I walked in and just looked at everybody sitting down, eating brunch together, and just lots of conversation happening. And it blessed my heart just to look and see that here we are, we have time to sit down and eat together and talk maybe longer than maybe what we would after church normally. Those kinds of times are invaluable for us. And so a practical thing I'd like us to think about maybe is just how do we take time for each other? And, you know, as Americans, I think we're pretty driven people, generally. We have our lists that we need to get done. We have these tasks that need to get done this week. And I think sometimes maybe it would be good for us just to set those lists aside. To take that task list and just leave it go. And think about how could I take some time for someone today? Whether it's going out to lunch or eating breakfast together or just getting together to pray for one another. Do those tasks. How important is it to get that list done? I know that even on that list, some of those things that we do are an expression of love for others. So I'm not saying we just can't do anything. We won't go to our job, you know, this week because we need to take time for one another. No, part of the reason we go to our job is because we love our family. And so we have a responsibility to provide for them. But I want you to think about all the things that are on your list. And why are they on there? Are they on there because of love? That's really the root, the foundation, really, of all that we do, is love. We do go to our job because of love. We sign up to teach Sunday school. Why? Not because we're just filling a slot, because somebody came and tapped us on the shoulder. No, we teach Sunday school because we love children. And I know Sunday school teachers, they love children. And they care about them. They want to minister to them. They want them to understand God's love for them. So take whatever task it is that you do. The reason we do those things is because of love. So taking time for each other is important. In Hebrews, we're told not to give up meeting together. Just coming to church or being involved in a small group gives us an opportunity to connect with each other and love one another. Andrew and Steph, some of you know them. They moved this just yesterday, and as I was talking with them Friday evening, they were just talking about the love that they experienced from this congregation. And even that day, somebody was watching their child while they were loading up stuff. Somebody had brought them a meal the night before because they had everything packed up. Those little things are so important in expressing love to one another. Somebody noticed. Somebody took the time to notice and think about what it is that they needed. We could talk about a lot of things. Serving together. I already mentioned how the church has worked together in building this building. It's a great expression to me of love as I watched people work together. Resolving conflict is an expression of love. To go to someone, believe it or not, to go to someone and say, you know what, this really is bugging me. This is bothering me. And I want our relationship to be complete, to be whole. Can we work this out? Or to forgive someone. Working out those conflicts is an expression of love. As I think just this past year, I think of some of the most difficult things that I've had to do in loving others is to challenge people, to challenge some friends, to look at some potential problems coming in their life, to gently challenge. So those are some of the most, I would rather not do that. There's some of the most difficult ways to love others. If we care about others, to point out areas where they might need to look at. Those are difficult ways to love others. I don't know what it is that God is calling you, but I want you to come away from this morning with a practical way. Maybe it's just sending a note to someone, a Facebook message, whatever it might be, just to encourage them. How important is it for us to really love one another? I want to close with this familiar passage from 1 Corinthians 13. Many of you probably know this passage. 1 Corinthians 13 says, "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing." Love is everything. He's saying nothing, if we're successful at everything else, but it's not motivated by love, then it's worth nothing. We could do the greatest things in this church. We could serve our community. We could preach great messages, have great programs for youth, children's ministry, whatever it might be. But if it's not because of love, if it's not out of love, we might as well just close the doors. That's what Paul is saying here. This really, truly needs to be a place where people can discover the amazing love of God. And here's the exciting thing. All of us as believers can do this. John tells us, God's love is made complete in us. We have the potential, not because of what we've done, but because of what Jesus has done for us. All of us as believers have the potential to show this kind of love to others. We can love because He first loved us. And maybe we're not the best at all these other things. Maybe we're not the best preachers or the best Sunday school teachers, or maybe we don't have the best youth program or whatever it might be. And maybe you feel inadequate this morning on what you can do in this world. But you know what? All of us can love. If you're a believer here this morning, you have the capability to show God's love to others. And that's the bottom line of what matters. That's what matters. I want to finish with the last part of 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror, but then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love.